Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So Evolution.
Evolution.
I pretty much from beginning to end was pleasantly surprised.
I was, yeah. There was...
Just the whole production of it felt special. It felt like its own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we were really scared that it was just... It was going to be like kind of paint by the numbers, but it was not.
Well... Right.
The fact that they got their own set.
There was a lot of stuff where, yeah, you said they got their own set. Mm-hmm. There was stuff like it was just darker in the arena, the lighting and
yeah.
the...
Yeah. And, you know, there's news coming out now that it was 100% like NXT production type
right.
situation. Like, Vince was there to observe only.
Right.
You know, you had the guardrails.
Guardrails instead of those
yeah.
padded barriers.
And, like, they had them covered and everything. They still look... good. They still, you know, look like a good
WWE.
Yeah. You didn't have the big bulky LED
right.
round posts or things around the posts.
Right.
I don't know, like just the production itself felt very much its own.
So
thing.
I have mixed feelings about that.
Okay.
And part of it is because personally I like that. I think it looks better, I think it looks cleaner. It's easier to immerse myself into mm-hmm. this kayfabe of, like, we're watching a sport now. We're
right.
watching, you know, feats of athletics. I'm watching it. This
and
isn't a show anymore.
With it being different than any other, like, men's pay-per-view or whatever, it made it feel like, oh, this is a bigger deal.
Right.
Because, it, you know, again, it's just presented differently.
Right. The issue in the back of my head is, like, these are all the things that they get to do on shows that they don't care about. These are all
yeah.
these are all mm-hmm. sub because for all the you know quality and love that we spout upon NXT
yeah.
NXT is level 3 you know or arguably lower
yeah
you know you could say NXT is you know the fourth ranking show that they have and so you know it's like oh it's being done by the NXT guys with
mm-hmm.
the NXT setting and lighting mm-hmm. and feeling. This should be a pay-per-view. This should have all the big event and pageantry and
right.
oomph of a pay-per-view.
But by doing that, you get people that actually care
yeah.
about what they're doing. And you could like you actually see some like you know artistic mm-hmm. expression.
Hence my dilemma.
Sure, because like
by,
yeah.
by showing that mm-hmm. they don't care, I got the opportunity to watch a much better show.
Sure. By they, you mean like the usual people that run WWE stuff.
Right.
And letting people that do care run it.
Right.
Which is different. It differentiates from the regular WWE show because I don't think they care about that either. They're just business as usual kind of situation, especially like on the weekly shows.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So that you see a big difference
mm-hmm.
in just production team. Gave a crap,
yeah.
You know, but just from the card itself, a lot of good stuff, a lot of good matches. You know, obviously, you know, Becky and Charlotte stole the show.
Becky and Charlotte stole the show to a ridiculous degree.
Yeah, they were like, first of all, it's the storyline of the company,
right?
You know. Outside of, I mean, obviously, you know, the focus right now has been, you know, Roman Reigns' health situation, which is where it should be, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the subsequent, like, feud between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, which no one really knows what's going on with that, or even if, you know, we're not just...
Where we're going.
Right, because it's not something that's featured in... You know, Crown Jewel on Friday.
Right.
And Survivor Series is going to be show versus show, so we don't really know if there's going to be any progression until maybe TLC.
Yeah.
You know? And
which is good to skip ahead. Why I'm really mm-hmm. excited with the, like, level of slow burn tease that they're doing with this.
Yeah, but I would still like some sort of explanation.
I still feel like we're going to get one.
Oh, sure.
Like,
yeah.
Now, if you talk to me, like, a month from now, and we've had, like, the Chris Jericho treatment of, like, come out, sneer, walk away, no words.
Yeah.
No, that'll get old real quick.
Yeah.
100%. But 1 week removed,
mm-hmm.
that was a pretty nice, like...
Yeah.
it was a nice tease. I was like, I you're not giving me what I want, but I know that you know what I want.
Right.
And sometimes with WWE, that's like 80% of the battle. It's like, do you even know what I want out of you?
Yeah. In this case, they know.
Yes.
And they're making you wait for it, right, which is fine. But all that's to say, you know, all that aside, the main focus of the last few months has been, you know, Becky, Charlotte, and
the story worth focusing on.
Right.
Like, every other focus has just been like, okay, that's the thing that it's been worth my time and attention.
And, you know, on the entire card of Evolution, that is the only feud that's well-rounded.
Yeah.
In any sense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of it was just stuff that's thrown together. I know the tag team match that opened up the show had a little bit of a wrench with Alexa Bliss getting hurt. But even that, like, that didn't come together until, you know, a couple weeks ago. And, you know, you have a Battle Royal, which is really hard to build,
mm-hmm,
really any sort of story. Like, the only story I feel like was going on there was Nia Jax and Tamina.
There was so much stuff that was good.
Sure.
Stuff like so the opening tag team, that was good. I enjoyed it. I understood its place. Mm-hmm. I can't be like, I in that moment, it's, you know, oh, it's Trish Stratus and Lita. It's, I feel the, you know, strings of my heart being twanged there.
And apparently we're going to get Lita and Trish Stratus for a little while.
Which is fine with me.
Sure. I mean, as long as you find them something interesting to do and not just do the whole, here they are,
yes,
you know, kind of thing.
Like, one thing that the women's division has been lacking is veterans.
Sure, yeah.
Throughout this whole women's revolution, mm-hmm, you've had, you know, and you're trying to elevate this division up to the men's division, and the men's division has people who have been there. You know, they have rookies, and they have fresh faces, and they have, you know, brand new champions. They also have people who are grizzled, who've been there for a while. They have established players.
Sure.
And I'm not even talking about, like, Undertaker, Triple H part-timers here. I mean, mm-hmm, like, John Cena and Randy Orton have been there for years. Yeah. They're, you know,
you don't have those, like, those standard bearers.
Right. Know? And not, you know, the let's just bring back these people from the Attitude Era is not necessarily the right answer, but
it's what they've got. Because that's what happens when you basically ignore an entire division for a generation, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, all those years when they didn't even have a women's division, you know?
Yeah. So there is this missing generation.
Yeah.
Of, you know, it's where Layla and Eve and, you know, Michelle McCool should be.
Sure.
I talent aside and deservedness aside, that the women who were wrestling, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, mm-hmm, who should now be these, you know, established, well, you know, multi-time winner, those are the, you know, final boss forms of this. And all that they've really had is Mickie James came back.
Yeah.
And because Mickie James is one person,
mm-hmm,
and because of how they've treated Mickie James.
Yeah.
Mickie James.
She's been a sidekick the entire time.
Yes.
She's been there.
So she's been a sidelines mom.
Yeah.
In this weird kind of way, mm-hmm, for a face or a heel, whoever it was that week.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, having people to conquer, having, mm-hmm, people to validate, people to put each other over, is a great addition to this.
Sure. You know, and people who their star is going to lose any shine if they ultimately lose to, you know, the person that they're building up.
Right.
You know. You need a female equivalent of like a Samoa Joe or something.
Yeah.
You know? I'm interested to see where they go with Lita and Trish sticking around, at least through WrestleMania from what we're told.
Mm-hmm.
Rhonda and Brie, it was surprisingly good for a Bella match.
So I get it. I get that this is, you know, you're the biggest name in female sports.
Yes.
And she wants to be on your show.
Yeah.
So, yes, thank you, whatever you want.
Sure.
I get that the Bellas are
some of the biggest names that you have in this division. Mm-hmm. I get that there is a whole subset of wrestling fans who came to you through Total Divas and Total Bellas.
Mm-hmm.
I get that these people both move merchandise. I get that this feels like the closest thing you can throw to, like, Pillar Icon versus Pillar Icon.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is you did it in a handful of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
There's no build up to the emotion that is comparable to the Becky and Charlotte match.
Sure.
And so when you have things like, I'm going to go back to like WrestleMania 3.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two great matches in WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
And they're the, you know, one match that everybody talks about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the main event.
Yeah.
And so you have one match. It's like, so Hogan and Andre as match skill could not hold a candle.
No. No.
But what they had
but
was...
But they didn't need to, yeah.
They had a storyline mm-hmm. with the emotion level of such that it could compare.
Yeah.
It could stick out as, like, this match has, you know, this...
Right.
This show has two matches that will stand the test of time going
had
forward.
Had a full story that was worthy of the main event.
Right.
Yeah.
And so here at Evolution, Charlotte and Becky has both.
Yeah, they've
they
got
have,
everything.
They have the talent and the mm-hmm. we're going to put on the match at this skill level,
right.
And we have the story.
Right. On top of, they're at this first ever show,
mm-hmm.
doing a first ever type match on the main roster. We know it already happened on NXT.
Yes.
That also got pointed out on Botchamania.
Mm-hmm.
You have all these factors, and they love stacking these factors on Charlotte matches.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that means Charlotte's going to be on the main event. The only thing is, I guess Ronda Rousey just, you know, throws a wrench in all that as far as, like, handing everything to Charlotte, which is okay because I don't want them to hand everything to Charlotte.
No, but watching the Charlotte mm-hmm. and Becky match, getting through this whole thing, it feels like I've watched the main event. It feels like I've watched the climax of the show, mm-hmm. and that's almost unfair
yeah.
to this Ronda and...
Sure, it's
Bella
like the, it's like the fact that there was a match after the Mick Foley Undertaker Hell in a Cell match. Like,
yeah,
like I just for years assumed that was the end of the show.
Right,
you know, and then you know,
you're like, oh, somebody has to
right.
go on after that. It's like watching a Marvel movie where like you've seen the climax of the movie's over, mm-hmm. and this match like you have to sit through the credits.
Yeah,
because you know, like there could be something after these credits.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, is there going to be a twist? Is there going to be a run in? Is there going to be storyline? Mm-hmm. You know, going on, so I guess I'll watch this match. Which, mm-hmm. When your match feels like, oh, this is the credits part.
Yeah, 100%. I forgot where I was going with it, but yeah. Did you see Becky's tweet after that?
Yeah,
where it just had a screenshot of Ronda Rousey following her on Twitter, and it mm-hmm. says Ronda's following you, and she just said, "Yeah, well, she tried."
Becky has been amazing on Twitter,
She's
by the way.
Been amazing everywhere.
Yes,
she deserves everything.
I'm not saying exclusively on Twitter. I'm just saying she's added Twitter to
yes.
the list of places where she's been amazing.
Yes. Now she's ousted Big Banter Corbin as the, you know, the ruler of Twitter.
The wrestler to follow right here.
Yes.
But yeah, this match felt like everything I wanted and more. This is the best women's match main roster WWE.
And it did feel like the penultimate, like, Charlotte Becky Lynch match.
Yes.
Because I know we talked a little bit about that with Daniel Bryan and Miz, where we still feel like they haven't had their, you know, that go-to, like, that's the
Daniel
Bryan
match that encompasses this feud.
Right. And Becky and Charlotte, like, they've had some pretty good matches, but I really feel like this one so far is the one match that encompasses the entire feud.
Right. Now, and Becky and Charlotte have a rivalry that is worthy, like it's on track to be worthy of a DVD release years
yes.
down the road. Like, and I know that it won't be DVD by that point, but it'll mm-hmm. be worthy of a Holocron release or whatever. So this is like, I fully expect they are going to have reignited rivalries.
Yes, 100%. Like 20 years from now, we will be talking about the re-release of the mine implant of Charlotte and Becky Lynch, that
yes.
stuff.
But this match is going to be one of them.
Yes.
This feels like for this chapter of the feud, mm-hmm. this is it right here.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. As far as main roster, would you consider that to be the best match of the year? Of WWE main roster, just that.
I would have to go through it again. Because mm-hmm.
The only other, and it really wasn't the fact that it was a great match or anything, but just the fact that they're willing to go for it. The only other match that I would consider would probably be Seth Rollins in that Iron Man match. Not Iron Man, the Gauntlet match.
Right, on Raw.
Like a few weeks before WrestleMania or something, and took up like half of an episode of Raw.
Yeah.
Like that was just something that's just, wow, like they, I can't believe they actually went for that. and it went over great.
Yeah. It's been a whole thing, like once Omega Okada 4 happened.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, my 2018's done. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Like, I haven't had that, like, you know, that list in the back of your mind where you're like, these could be the matches of the year.
At this time, they waited until Dominion. Like, they waited until halfway through the year instead of doing it, like, 4 days into the year.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, that's the kind of thing where it's like, I don't have that list as usual where I can immediately, like, I'm going to compare it to these, you know?
Like, so far, everything pales in comparison to Okada Omega 4. But Charlotte Becky Lynch is pretty high up.
But that's
there.
Also unfair to everything mm-hmm. because you're just in the bad luck of happening in 2018.
Yeah.
The same year that this match happened.
And also the same year that the Gargano Ciampa feud happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, you know, there's going to be a few NXT takeover matches on that, you know, the top tier of that list anyway.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I feel very comfortable saying best women's match on the main roster ever. And
yeah, I can agree with that.
And like, I need to put it against some of the NXT matches, specifically like when the Four Horsewomen were in NXT.
Yeah.
I liked the Becky Sasha match. That was my favorite of that run.
That always is my go-to of, like, people ask me, like, why do you like Becky Lynch so much? Especially, like, when they weren't really featuring her all that much. I always go back to that match.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
It was like, this is what she can potentially do if they let her. She didn't have much of a character in NXT.
And part of it was that match kind of got swallowed up because Sasha and Bayley was right after it.
Right.
And
yeah.
They, you know, and that was the big blow-off feud of that entire group of women.
Right.
But, you know, personal speaking, I think the Becca Sasha one was better than anything else that they put out. But I have to go back and look at it for comparison to see if I can, like, this is worthy of that, you know, these, you know, stack up against each other.
Yeah. Man, yeah, it's difficult it's difficult to really just say that it is the best women's match that they've ever had because there's so much to do in it. I can promise you the only matches that are going to be able to hold a candle to it would be an NXT match.
Yeah.
Or like a Mae Young Classic turn. Like I have, but then again, I can't really point to a Mae Young Classic match.
Mae Young Classic also has the disadvantage where there's not as much time to tell story.
Sure.
And they honestly don't get as much time in the ring. It was a little weird watching Evolution where I was like, this match is going on forever.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh, because it's not in the constraints of having to be in an episode of the Mae Young Classic.
And I mean, and I really need to go back and watch some stuff from the Mae Young Classic. Because there was a few weeks prior, I just kind of like caught highlights of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Mercedes Martinez versus, I can't remember who she was facing, but there was a lot of talk about that match. Maybe Mae Young?
Okay.
It might have been a Mae Young match. I don't know if Mercedes Martinez was in it. But there was a lot of talk about a few matches from the Mae Young, you know, Classic this year that I need to go back and watch. Speaking of, I would say maybe second best match of the night, I would say would be Toni Storm and Io Shirai for the Mae Young finals.
Yeah.
And it was just exciting because like it felt like the first real exposure, especially for Toni Storm.
Right.
Like Io Shirai, she's a newcomer on NXT. Like I know she has a lot of indie attention.
I would
But I mean, she's on it in the spot of Kairi Sane from last year. You know, she didn't win, but you know, I feel like it's going to be a few tapings before she gets on NXT, before they establish exactly like the kind of vibe she's going to get off. Where you got Toni Storm, who I feel like this was her big presentation of exactly who she is, and it's like a big springboard because she's going to be the focal point of the women's division on NXT UK to right. start things off. And so I feel like, yeah, this was a pretty important match because of that. And I felt like both of them like really, really delivered.
Yeah. So I think just personal preference, mm-hmm. I was going to say the Kairi Sane laser match, but
they're neck and neck.
And the reason I'm going to default to the one that you said was because it's gotten to the point where like people passing out because they won't tap out.
Yeah.
It's just that bothers me now because faces do it. Only faces do it. Heels tap out.
Yeah.
And faces pass out. Mm-hmm. And that just, that puts this weird of like, oh, you know, you're if you tap out, there shouldn't be anything wrong with tapping out.
No.
And this is, if you're about to come up with a, you know, exception that's proving my rule.
Well, Daniel Bryan just tapped out to AJ Styles, but they're both faces.
That's fair. But it's not a hard and fast, this always happens this way. But it was such a big deal when Stone Cold.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, Stone Cold and Bret Hart ruined it. They ruined everything because now everything is trying to live up to that.
Right.
And be like, okay, well, if we can get that reaction this time when we do it, and they don't, well, what about this time? And you're like, okay, well, let's stop.
And it happens all the time. It's, mm-hmm. you know, tapping or passing out is no greater of a feat than tapping out at this point. And, yeah, I blame the Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame it. They did good. I a little bit blame John Cena because John Cena's never give up thing.
But I don't think he's ever passed out, though.
Maybe.
I don't remember a time where he like was in a submission move so long he passed out. He did that to Ryback at a Royal Rumble, which was stupid.
My point is that getting caught in a, you know, hold mm-hmm. that forces you to tap out should be another element of this person out-wrestled that person.
Yeah.
Such
is the case with, like, AJ and Daniel Bryan. Yeah.
Yes, on this night, person A out-wrestled person B.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at any actual contact sport that involves tap out, it's almost immediately, you got me in the armbar tap.
Yeah.
Like I can't get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know.
And I've got to think about the rest of my career, so tap.
Yes. You bested me. Good job, you.
Right.
And that should be the feeling of tap out. It shouldn't be any more embarrassing than a pin.
Yeah.
And so, like, and it's not treated as a pin. It's treated as an I quit match.
Mm-hmm.
And I quit should have this connotation of I am making you say I quit. There is, I am defeating you and I am shaming you while I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not that with the, you know, context of a submission match. And that's, it takes away the excitement or the prestige of a submission match.
Yeah.
Which I would like to see some submission matches.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I don't feel like we've had one in a really long time.
No, we haven't. And part of that, I think, is because submitting has become a thing that weaklings do.
Right. Yeah.
So, John Cena popularized the never give up. And when you never give up, you force your way out of a submission.
Yeah.
You withstand the pain of the submission to force your way out, which is not what they should be.
No. No, I'll agree.
So, yeah. And so when they're like, oh, this match is going to end with the face passing out because they refuse to submit. I'm like, oh, again? Okay.
Yeah.
So,
that covers Evolution.
That does.
Where
it's a good show. Do it again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100%. Except next time, don't let it just be a thin veil to cover up the fact that you're just trying to Cover your butts that none of the women are going to be wrestling at Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But Renee Young is going to be there to commentate. And I hope for her own safety that she's in a coal mine.
Yeah, it's like weird, right?
It feels like another weak attempt at a distraction to cover. Like,
so to venture into the mired swamp that is this entire Crown Jewel Saudi Arabia situation.
I was going to say Blood River, but continue.
I was going to say Minefield, and then I was like, that might be banned.
Either way.
Anyway, to venture into this, WWE is going forward.
Yep.
As of this recording, there are wrestlers in Saudi Arabia. So, right, like, now.
The show is tomorrow.
Yes. It's not getting called off at this point.
First and foremost, we're standing by, you know, not watching it. There might be clips of it online that we might see that we will, if we are told that we absolutely must see this clip, we will watch this clip. We are not going to be watching any sort of official WWE stream of the show in any capacity.
I don't think that there is any question of morally, this is bad.
Yeah.
What you're doing is bad, is in poor taste, has potential long-lasting ramifications. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is a...
Yeah, like, at the same time, there's no way that this is the moment where, you know, Vince McMahon is just now selling his soul. Like, come on, he sold that a long time ago.
Right. This is also a, you know, cog in a really complicated world political wheel that is going in many directions, several of them the incorrect direction, and it's very scary. If this was WWE has a deal with Saudi Arabia and they're doing this in this vacuum, that is an entirely different situation.
Yeah.
WWE is in a situation where... And again, to just, you know, here's the political aspect of this.
Yeah.
This is something where a government can call for, we are going to not do deals or adjust deals in this manner because of these reasons.
Mm-hmm.
If this had happened in a different time with a different, you know, leadership.
Yeah.
Then we would be...
Because, like, of course, you know, the government isn't going to step in and tell the WWE to not do it, because this is the same government that has a arms deal with Saudi Arabia that they struck, like, what, last year, the year before?
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course they're not going to... Like, in WWE's statement last week when they decided to move forward with it, you know, they're saying, like, well, all these other companies are also doing... Like, one of them essentially is the United States government.
Right.
Let's not kid ourselves here.
And so when you talk about, like, okay, so this is morally a wrong decision.
Yes.
And I know we say that a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a number that's too many times to say that morally this is the incorrect decision.
It needs to be, we've said this pretty much every week for the last couple months. If not every week, every other week, a couple months ago. Anyway, it needs to be repeated as many times as you feel like it's necessary. And personally, I feel like it's necessary to pretty much regurgitate it every day. That this is morally wrong. The WWE should be ashamed of themselves for doing business with this government.
Yes.
And they had an opportunity to use this as, you know, a chance to take a stand and speak out against what this government's doing. And say that, hey, we were not, maybe they can go ahead and just claim ignorance and be like, we were not aware of all these issues that this government has. Mm-hmm. Now that it's all come to light, we now, you know, are parting ways with this contract, with this agreement, and we are, you know, in the favor of, you know, not killing people or... gender equality, which they claim to be in favor of this entire time, but yet they're doing business with
so
the Saudi Arabian government.
So the question remains, mm-hmm. while this is a, you know, morally reprehensible yeah. decision, is it a good or bad business decision?
I feel
for
like
WWE. And okay, and so there's stuff like, let's say for example, it was just the gender equality thing.
Yeah.
Then yes, it'd be the right business decision to go, because WWE has pretty well figured out how to have their cake and eat it too. And we're going to complain on a podcast, but you know,
but they're
selling out both shows.
Yeah. No, 100%. So, and I'm sure like the show tomorrow is going to be sold out too.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it was just that, yeah, it would still feel gross, but I wouldn't be surprised if WWE kept continuing.
Well, and
business relationship.
And so much of the reason where we have to sit here and go, is this a good business decision? And we can't say, yes, this is for these reasons, or no, it isn't for right. these reasons, is we don't 100% know what all is involved in the agreement.
Sure.
Now, there's things like, we assume that WWE is going to have to promote Saudi Arabia
yeah.
in some sort of promotional video.
Yeah.
That would seem to be part of the agreement.
Yeah.
That's going to be rough.
Yeah. Because, again, we've that's another point that we make pretty much every week. This is going to live on their network.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to live on their network forever unless they decide to edit it later after, I don't know, God forbid something else.
If they are allowed to, as per the agreement. I have no idea.
Right. Now, I don't want to be too much of an advocate for, you know, for WWE's side of things. Like, I understand, like, the logistical nightmare that would have happened if they decided to pull out.
Well,
you know? I understand all that. So, I am willing to wait and see what they do after.
And that's where my concern falls in.
Yeah.
Because, yes, we're doing this, and then 2 weeks we say we're not.
Yeah.
Is a pretty logistical nightmare, mm-hmm. Especially with things like, I don't know what tickets have been sold. I don't yeah. know what agreements are. But no matter what it is, that's a giant
like
headache.
I understand, like, financially, this is always going to be in the favor for, you know, for WWE. But there comes a point where what the Saudi Arabian government has done, alleged to have done, possibly might do in the future, becomes very inconvenient for WWE. And I feel like there has to be some sort of breach of contract situation there, you know?
So, and it came out, I think we spoke about this last week or the week before. It came out, somebody was running numbers, was
right.
dealing with, and it's like, they're probably making $2 or $3 million on the
right.
show, which comparatively is not a huge deal, especially
no.
when you
assuming,
think of the amount of money it is. And so,
but I'm assuming the bulk of the money for this show that Saudi Arabia is paying them for is going towards the logistics of putting the show on. So I think
right.
that's what they're talking about. Like the difference that, you know, the difference at the end of the day is they're like $1-2 million to the good.
Right. But WWE would not power through this level of bad press
no.
for $1-2 million, which means that there is an eyeball on
the long term.
Yes. The remaining 9.5 years that are on in this deal.
Again, but this is just year one. This is just year one, and you're already having this many problems with it. I really think it would be smart of WWE to either restructure the deal or just completely void
so,
it after this.
All you wrestling historians out there who mm-hmm. know these weird wrestling dates and facts and numbers
yeah.
in your head, I am curious, what is the longest, like, outreaching deal that WWE has had where they have made it through? Because this is a 10-year deal
yeah.
that we don't know if it's going to make it 10 years.
Yeah.
The other famous one is Bret Hart. Would you, you know, here is 20-year contract.
Yeah, and that lasted, like, a year, maybe?
That lasted a year that was set to expire last year.
Yeah.
Like, that's how insanely long it
was
supposed to be.
97. Okay.
Yeah, 97. And so, yeah, basically, has WWE managed to strike a deal with someone mm-hmm. for, like, 10 years or 15 years and follow through with it?
Yeah. And ironically enough, this time it wasn't WWE that crapped the bed.
No.
This isn't, you know, WWE, you know, doing something wrong. to make them question.
I mean,
make people question.
Some would argue that this was bit crapping from the get-go.
Well, sure. But ultimately, you know, WWE isn't the one that we know of that had someone murdered.
So
I don't know completely Vince's past. And honestly, I wouldn't be terribly surprised.
I am fairly sure you are on record accusing Vince McMahon of murder on this very show.
Like, yeah, as a joke.
Like, not murder with his own bare hands, but...
Well,
like,
yeah, you hired someone else to murder for him.
or like, covering up murders that...
Okay.
...would have adversely affected his business.
Okay. You're splitting hairs. and turning my words against me. Okay. I am saying that... I'm not saying that Vince McMahon ordered a hit on Jimmy Superfly Snuka's girlfriend back in 1988. I'm saying it happened and Vince helped cover it up, allegedly. I'm covering us up legally here. I have to get John on the phone.
Are you?
But that's... I'm not saying that Vince McMahon ordered a hit on anybody that we know of.
That we know of.
But man, I wouldn't be surprised. Like I'm a bit of a firm believer of a bit of a firm believer. I know that doesn't make any sense.
It does not.
I am always willing to listen to like more ideas about the conspiracy theory that Vince sent Vince Russo to WCW to kill him. To kill the company.
To kill the company. Yes.
I realize in this conversation I need to be very specific.
if it came out tomorrow that Vince McMahon had hired a contract killer at some point in his life for some reason, I don't think that bit of news would wreck your whole day. I think it would be like, what? No, I can't. Well, yeah, okay. I got back to work.
But see, that's the thing. Like, all of Vince's like worst, bitter enemies are like pretty much all alive, aren't they?
That you know of.
Yeah, all of his like worst enemies as far as business wise.
Yes, as far as business wise.
I don't know personally.
I believe Vince has been quoted saying that his biggest regret was that his stepfather died before he got a chance to kill him.
Well, sure. But that also sounds like if he had killed him, he would be very proud of him. And it sounds like his stepdad was, you know, he was was a prick, so
yeah.
And he was he should have faced a lot of years in prison.
Anyway, to the point of Saudi Arabia, this has had a toll on WWE financially and PR wise.
Yes.
Will it stick? We don't know. That's literally time will tell.
I'm really surprised that they're still continuing to do it, considering the amount of mainstream media coverage it's gotten.
WWE also took a gamble on the fact that, quite frankly, we're very close to the midterms, which accelerates the news cycle. And in all honesty, that Trump is on the TV daily making a news story that drowns out other things.
Yeah.
I think that WWE took a genuine gamble that says the Saudi Arabia thing is an issue today on Sunday. It is light years of time between Sunday and Friday in this current news cycle.
Sure.
I think we might be able to weather out how short this is.
That's exactly why I said earlier is that we need to continuously state how wrong this is, how morally reprehensible this is, you know, so that it doesn't get buried in the news cycle. And for the most part, it hasn't. There's not the fervor that people had like a couple weeks ago, but it's still like in the minds of most wrestling fans that are tuning in or refusing to tune in. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know who the target audience is for these things. I don't know how much money they make, you know, at the gate at Saudi Arabia versus how important it is to Saudi Arabia that this show is viewed with American eyeballs because of the, you know, tourist videos.
Yeah.
I don't know what WWE's on the hook for. I don't know what the goal is.
Yeah.
And
because I know for a fact, I don't think it's going to do all that well as far as viewing in the United States, and I really don't think it's going to do good at all in Canada.
Well, and I mentioned to you, I don't think we mentioned on the podcast because it got drowned out in all the Crown Jewel Saudi Arabia stuff, but on the conference call, part of what just blew my mind was how much of WWE's goals and focus were on things that doesn't matter to us.
Yeah, had nothing to do with their weekly WWE programming.
Right.
And wrestling shows.
Yeah, their wrestling shows. And so there was a ton about how Miz and Mrs. had done.
Yeah.
And what their plans were going forward with the reality empire, which is what it is now. They have multiple reality shows, not just on the network that they control, but on all of these, you know, the spread of stuff. And a ton of discussion about how successful some of their apps were.
Yeah.
Those games that, like, they advertise for 1 week and you forget about it, that are all Bejeweled and, you know, Angry Birds knockoffs.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, like, this has brought in this amount. We've partnered with these, you know, mobile gaming companies to create new things that we're estimating will be this successful. So much of this, like, and one thing they talked about was how live event tickets, you know, in the United States is slowing down.
Yeah.
And is that, somebody asked, is that a passe point of income at this point? Have we moved past that being a viable thing that we want to focus on? And Vince gave, like, a great answer that you would want to hear a CEO give on a call about, like, we have, you know, studied this. We are aware of these situations. We have ideas and plans about how to adjust our live events to better in line, blah, 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 talk. By and large, saying, at the end of the day, Vince is, you know, he doesn't want, this is what he is. He is this, you know, live event in front of the crowd, smash mouth, brah, brah, brah.
Well, yeah, so it's like, his bread and butter.
Yeah, Vince is not going to give up live events anytime soon.
No.
But all that to say is, so much of what we sit here and talk about on the podcast is not what's in the frame of mind for WWE, and especially to the investors of WWE.
Like, again, like, do you really think WWE cared about the years, months, weeks of us going on and on and on about, like, how they're not booking Roman correctly? Like, again, like, further proof that they don't care about any of that, because their focus is on pretty much everything else other than the wrestling product, which is astonishing.
Well, and part of it is the wrestling product, to some extent, writes itself.
Yeah.
That they, you know, it's a wind-up tool. You wind up and it goes, and we say, it's been going for a few weeks and you need to pivot because this isn't working.
Yeah.
And they say, you're threatening to stop because we cut Pyro and AJ looks silly, but we saved $1,000.
Sure.
And that kid doesn't care, and he bought a t-shirt tonight.
Sure. Like, they understand how fickle the smart crowd is and how they can be. But there's almost always going to be a steady revenue.
Well, and to some degree, how used to it we get. Take the fireworks, for example. That was an uproar for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I go, when somebody makes a pose that clearly was designed to have pyro around it.
Going back to SmackDown 1000, Edge's entrance is weird without pyro.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, but, you know, whatever.
Rey Mysterio's entrance is weird without pyro.
But the amount of money that they're saving.
Sure.
Like, Not even just on, like, fireworks are expensive, yo, but I'm sure there's a lot less.
And that was before their stock went through the roof, which it's now kind of leveled off from the decline that we experienced, like, the last couple weeks.
Yeah, we don't know. This is,
in the short term, it's leveled off, I should say.
There are people who are day trading stocks who are being like, oh, WWE is going forward, let me sell immediately, and then try and skip this crash and then grab it as it's building back up.
Sure.
But that is a tiny, tiny fraction of the people who are investing in WWE.
Yeah.
People investing in WWE are
investing, you know, buying hundreds or thousands of stock, and planning to have it for a while. It is a long-term investment.
Yeah.
And the stock has fallen greatly, but it has not fallen in sell all your stock levels yet.
No.
And
the stock has not, like, gotten back to where it was a couple years ago.
No.
Because, like, a couple years ago, it was, what, like 20?
Yeah.
20%.
So it's nowhere near there. The spike from the Fox deal is still very much there. And again, they have weathered the storm for the most part. If you just look at stock numbers, you can see it dip when they got brought up in the mainstream media. You can see it kind of dip again when they said, we're going for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, been up and down the past few days, but it's not fallen. It's crawled up a little bit back. And, you know, it might go down a little bit
tomorrow,
you know, when the Saudi thing happens. It is likely that some media outlets will cover it Saturday, Sunday, maybe even Monday this week. It might go down some more there.
But once WWE kind of focuses on something else, once it focuses on, like, Survivor Series, I have a feeling it's gonna level off, if not go back up.
Yeah, and so the next thing is are they going back to Saudi Arabia next April?
Yeah,
and
or just that next year at all?
Yeah, and for that, I mean, you can honestly only wait. And it the way the world is right now, it's going to be a different world in April.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who's going to be in charge of what, who's going to have what plans in this political environment.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
And
I would not be making 10-year deals about anything right now.
Lord, no. Like, you don't really know. You don't know really what the environment of WWE is going to be a year from now.
No.
Because you don't know if Vince means what he said when he, you know, said he wasn't going to be really the day-to-day face of the XFL in 2020. But, like, we're getting closer to the start of that. So there's that. Plus, on top of, we don't know what kind of changes they're going to make whenever SmackDown goes to Fox.
Well, and you also...
Like, how is Fox going to feel about this whole Saudi
Arabia
thing? Right,
I don't know. Just like we don't know what WWE's deal with Saudi Arabia is, we don't know what language is in WWE's deal with Fox.
Yeah.
Does Fox have a say about, like, hey, we don't want people from the Fox network showing up in Saudi Arabia for reasons X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
And do they have the power to stop that? I don't know.
Well, let's be honest. They'll probably be okay with it. man, I'm just having... During that whole, you know, discussion about the stock and... business deals and everything, because we're closing in on our six-year anniversary of this podcast.
Yeah.
Did you ever think how do you think 2012 Joel and Chris would have reacted if we were to tell them that, you know what, we're going to be really, really into talking about stocks on the podcast? I feel like 2012 Joel and Chris would be severely disappointed.
I feel like I would be like, oh, does CM Punk have a new stock-based character?
Oh, and are you guys still doing the podcast even though you're obviously millionaires by now and just doing it for fun?
Sorry, guys.
We're not millionaires, but we still do it for fun because no one has paid us to do the podcast. And we are seeking new investment opportunities in advertising. Contact us at classroomattire@gmail.com.
All right, do you have anything else this week?
No, but I do want to go ahead and start talking about Extra Life.
Yes.
Outside of our usual advertising of... or
the plug at the
plugs,
end.
Plugs, yeah.
This isn't the plugs yet. Don't turn it off.
Yeah, this is
the pre-plug.
We are a week and some change away from our Extra Life. There is, like, the big Extra Life fundraising event happening this weekend, but I can't do this weekend, so we're going for... the weekend of the 10th.
Yes.
Starts at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so adjust that from wherever you live. Here's some possible games that I'm looking at right now. Fire Pro Wrestling. Fire Pro World is a local Greensboro wrestling organization that is very good people. But Fire Pro Wrestling, we're looking at that. I still need to buy that. I picked up Red Dead 2.
Okay.
So we can go through the story on that. There's that weird story mode of Madden that if things get really dire and I need something to play, if we can get some people to come over and hang out, I've always got Starwall. We can always do a home run derby. There's this whole thing I'm trying to work through on MLB The Show. So if you want to watch some baseball games, that could happen too. Any other ideas, send those all over this way. And if you know of any games that are free and or cheap, that would be good. That would be fantastic as well. We are a little over $300 into our goal. Our goal is to reach $500 by the end of the year. I fully believe that we're going to make that with your help. It's all on our Facebook page, Class of Ring Attire. Just search that on Facebook. You'll find it. You'll see all the information that we've put out there for Extra Life, including donation links. We will also post the link to the stream. Still working around some ideas on exactly what we'll stream, how long we'll stream. There might be multiple streams throughout the day or just one long stream. We don't know. Still working through all those details, but we will keep you guys updated, especially on Facebook and Twitter. So keep an ear out for it. And just go ahead and just say that you're attending on the event, and we'll also update everything on there.
Yes. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRAttire. We live tweet when we can, when it's appropriate.
When we feel like we are morally obligated, and when we do not feel like we're morally obligated, we will not. So needless to say, we're not going to be live tweeting.
No, this is not a weekend.
A show that we're not tweets. Going to watch on tomorrow.
Also, I have work at noon.
Right? I work real people hours. I work till 5. Like, granted, the way work is shaping out and where I'll be tomorrow, I really won't have much to do. But I can't sit there and just watch something on my phone shift.
I have work on Friday. Yeah. Sorry.
So, Coleman said you say suck it. if you have any questions, comments, if you want to just tell us what you're doing on a Friday afternoon instead of watching Blood Money shows, you can send all that to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You get a new episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com, we love to hear from you. Leave a comment on there.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Like Extra Life.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.